Well, hi everyone, Pastor Darren here, sitting with Pastor Mike for our Sunday sermon recap. And we're in a series, Living Hope, and we're walking through the book of Luke. And Sunday sermon was kind of like a sermon within a sermon within a sermon.
Right, yeah, it was like a, what's that, Inception?
Yeah, so it was a kind of a continuation from last week's series on the lost sheep and the lost coin. Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage you all to go back and listen to that message. It was an awesome, amazing message. So last week we heard about the parable of the lost sheep.
Yep.
And Jesus leaving the 99 for the one because of that value of just that one.
Right.
We also heard the parable of the lost coin. And the coin was very valuable to the woman to the point where she went to great lengths to find that coin. So right. In both of these parables, there was a lot of rejoicing when they found the coin and when they got the sheep.
Yep.
But this past Sunday, there was kind of a plot twist here.
Mm-hmm.
In the first two parables, the actions of the sheep and the coin being lost, mm-hmm. those were not intentional. A sheep didn't intentionally get lost, and
right.
she didn't intentionally
right.
lose her coin.
Right.
But in the parable of the prodigal son, like you said on Sunday, the younger brother intentionally asked for his inheritance
mm-hmm.
and purposely left the covering of his father. So mm-hmm. you said on Sunday that the last thing, or Sunday, that the thing that was lost was of his own choice and his
right.
own doing.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be the wrong decision and
yeah.
the wrong choice.
For sure, yeah.
And for someone listening to this podcast, you might have checked out already. It's like, I'm not getting an inheritance from my parents. I'm not getting anything. I'm not getting land. So can you give an example of, in our culture today, 2023, of kind of like this young man's choice? What are some choices mm-hmm. that we have today that we may mm-hmm. prematurely take, mm-hmm. But that might impact us negatively long term?
Well, yeah. So when I was thinking about it, when I was kind of comparing it to my own head, isn't so much the inheritance aspect of it, but you see it a lot in the church world, where you have, guys and girls who grew up in the church, you know, under the authority of their parents. They grew up, you know, in a Christian household. And then I even made a joke about the first year of college. You know, he's off on his first year of college. You know, it's not his fault, you know, whatever. But I feel like that happens a lot, because the first time you get out on your own, you enter into, you know, adulthood in your own right.
Yeah.
And you kind of, maybe it's going off to college or moving out on your own for the first time. And you basically say to the ideals and the faith that you were brought up in, I don't want this. I don't want you. I'm going to go my own way. And some of that's...
Isn't there like a statistic about kids who leave, that there's like a percentage of them that just yeah. kind of leave the faith?
Yeah. I don't know the statistic, yeah. but yeah.
We'd have to ask Billy on that one.
Yeah, so. Billy probably could help us out. Youth pastor, yeah. But for sure, like, and so there's this kind of feeling out period, I think,
yeah.
in early adulthood. I went through some of that, you know, where you kind of are feeling out, what do I really believe? What do I really want to chase after? There's this thing I've been brought up in. All of a sudden, you're exposed to a whole new world that you've never experienced or seen. There's temptations you've never had before. And so that's, as I was studying, I know it's not the same thing, but that's what I was thinking of, was like that 18, 19-year-old guy or girl who goes to college for the first time. They're exploring young adulthood, and they're leaving behind what they were brought up in and kind of turn their back on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you do see a lot of times in the church, like, we have a lot of people who will come back and they're in their late 20s, and it's that story of, I was brought up in the church.
Yeah.
When I went to college, I left the church. Now I'm married and have kids, and I realize what matters. And so there's a lot of people in there, maybe even listening to this, that came back to faith mid to late 20s because they settling in and realizing that foundation they had, they want it back. And so,
yeah.
you know, we don't know how long this guy was gone from his family. The Bible doesn't tell us, but
yeah.
I mean, it could have been years. You
yeah.
know, who knows? So.
So the parable continued, and the son received that inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up squandering the inheritance on his own pleasures and ended up finding himself probably in the lowest point he's ever had
right.
in his life, which was fighting for slop with pigs because
right.
he was hungry.
Yeah, which one thing, one thing I was reading about this was that the thing he was craving, like the pig slop, his stomach couldn't even digest.
Mm.
So he's so hungry. He's looking at something he's not even able to eat and saying, I wish I could have that.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's interesting to me. But
yeah, and the Bible says he came to himself, he came to his senses.
Yeah.
And you'd given us the analogy, this is his moment of repentance.
Yeah, it's not an analogy. It's that that's the phrase. Oh, so okay. it was a Jewish phrase, essentially, or Aramaic phrase, which means he came to his senses, meaning he realized he was wrong. So it's literally a moment of repentance. Okay. He's looking around and he's going, holy, you know, what have I done?
Yeah.
And so he's coming to his senses, like, but spiritually as well, going, what have I done? I have wronged my family. I've wronged my father. I have messed up. And so it's literally his came to his senses. That is his moment of repentance. It's an okay. Aramaic phrase that means, yeah, came to repentance, essentially. Yeah.
Okay. So he realized that he messed up. So mm-hmm. what he does is he starts putting together his monologue.
Yeah.
To his dad.
He's building up his plan.
Yeah, he's putting up his plan. He's rehearsing his one-man show for his dad. Yeah,
how am I going to fix this? How am I, you know, we've all done it, right? Your husband, wife, friend, you've messed up and you know you've done wrong. And so you're on the car ride home. You're rehearsing. Here's what I'm going to say to Katie. You know, that's my wife. How am I going to say to Katie to make her forgive me? You know, like we've all done it. And so that's what he knows he's screwed up and he's planning the speech. It's his, you know, what's the movie? You know, you complete me. You know, yeah. It's you. It's always been you. You know, this is his speech to dad to try to fix it all. So.
So that's kind of like us. When we fall short, we start putting together our repentance plan for God. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to wake up at 3 a.m. and I'm going to start praying.
Yeah.
I'm going to read 10 chapters a day.
Cover to cover.
Yeah. Cover to cover. Yeah. I'm going to fast for 40 days, just some water alone. And and like the father in the story, our Heavenly Father's like, you know what? It doesn't take all that.
Yeah.
I just want you to come back to me.
Yeah.
Return to me. Repentance. Yeah. Come back. Turn.
Yeah.
Come back to me. I don't need all the works. There's no formula. There's no steps. There's no hoops you have to walk through.
Right.
I just want you. And that's the Father.
Yeah.
And like you said on Sunday, only the Father can restore.
Yeah, that's the thing. We make our plan, you know, but the Son recognizes one of the most powerful things to me is he's making this plan to come back home. And you know it's true repentance in this. He knows, according to their Jewish customs, he can no longer be called son.
Mm.
And so he knows that that's out of the question. So this plan of repentance and this plan to repay his father is a genuine plan of, I know I've done wrong. There's no ulterior motive, is mm-hmm. what I'm trying to say. He knows he can't earn it back. He can't. So, but his plan is just to make things right, to try to repay dad for what he's taken. And so he's not even expecting what he's going to get because he understands, at least the way we read the text, he understands that he cannot fix it. And the only one that can restore him is the Father. And that's so far out of the question that he sees it as impossible, at least like what the way that the text implies, right? And so to have the Father restore him is completely unexpected, completely impossible, and yet only the Father has the ability to do it and is generous to do it.
Yeah.
So it's great. Yeah. It's
and this Father in this story, he broke all tradition and everything. Like mm-hmm. you said, he went running after him, which wasn't his culture, which wasn't in that tradition at all.
Yeah.
And the end of this parable, we saw the brother come into the scene.
Right.
And we saw the brother hating from the sideline.
Yeah.
Yeah. This party's going on.
Yeah.
And he's like,
which I made the joke Sunday, and I do hold to this, that he's out in the fields working his butt off. And nobody tells him about the party.
Yeah.
And so I'd be a little irritated too.
And he hears the music. Hey, what's going on? Yeah. He shows up at the house and you're throwing a party for Junior and he's
I'm out there working the field. Yeah, like, exactly.
And now you're giving him a robe?
Yeah.
And now you're giving him a ring?
Yeah. Sandals.
And now you're giving him the Jordan 1 sandals? So he wasn't happy.
Yeah.
He wasn't happy. And that's a real emotion, especially from the son who's, you know, I'm doing everything the right way.
Yeah.
I'm the good son, like you said. I'm the one doing everything the right way.
Right.
That's a real, real true emotion that I would have.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And
absolutely.
The beauty in this parable is really in the end. And it's the father's like, I'm just excited to have my son back.
Yeah.
But I'm going to break culture, like you said. I'm going to leave the party and I'm going to go check on my other son too.
Yeah.
And make sure he's good.
Yep. Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, first off, I would definitely be irritated. You come up and he says, the son says, because he says, you slaughtered the fatted calf, which in this culture, they don't eat meat except for very special occasions. They didn't eat meat because it was very special, right? So that's, it's only special moments. And the fatted calf was the biggest and the best. And the, you know, it's the once a year celebration that they're having right now. And he says, you gave him the fatted calf. You never even gave me a goat, which is special, but it's not near special as this. So he's, you know, it's kind of the frustration there. But yeah, like you said, the father comes out, and it's interesting because we don't always read it this way, but it's the truth of their culture. For the father to run to the son broke tradition. For mm-hmm. the father to run to the son was undignified for him, because he's going to be in what he's going to be wearing. For him to run is going to expose his legs and his knees, which is embarrassing and undignified of a Middle Eastern man, right? And so he's embarrassing himself to go do that, but he's also embarrassing himself to leave the party and to go talk to the son. We don't think of it that way because we live in a different culture and a different society, but for him to throw this celebration and to have to leave it to walk out to beg his other son to come and join him is embarrassing. It's undignified. And he's lowering himself and the community. You know, they're watching this going, oh my goodness, mm-hmm. what's he doing to walk out and go? And so both sons embarrass the father. Mm-hmm. Both sons cause the father to have to act, or not have to, but to choose to act in a way that their culture would see as undignified. And he does that in order to call both sons in. Yeah. And it's interesting to think about, you know, God our Father sending Jesus, who is God, whose place is at the right hand of the Father. What undignified way does he act? He asks Jesus to come in flesh, to lower himself, to take on a cross, to humbly take on a cross and accept the abuse of his creation. And that's an undignified manner to act, to leave heaven to come to earth. And so it's interesting that Jesus uses this example, because the Father in both ways acts in ways that lower his standing, or it seemingly lower his standing to call the Son home, both sons home. And in the same way, Jesus does that for us. Yeah. He comes to earth. He acts in an undignified manner so that he can offer salvation to us. And so to both sons.
Yeah.
And so it's
And it's like Christ does throughout the Gospels. You know, mm-hmm. He's not concerned about tradition. He's not I'm looking for that person. Right. It's like the woman at the well. Why are you talking to this woman?
Right. Yeah.
You're not supposed to be talking to her.
And it's not that Jesus isn't concerned with right and wrong and sin. It's that he's showing us our traditions that we hold so strongly to. Yeah. He's like, no, I'm gonna bust through those things, because those aren't, like, what you've built up as this isn't what you think it is, right? Now, he's not sinning. He's never going to sin.
Right.
But our traditions, he doesn't care about.
Right.
You know, he's never going to sin. But the things, the traditions that are sacred cows, our holy traditions that don't have anything to do with Jesus, he's like, you can forget those.
Yeah.
I don't care about that. Yeah. You know, so it's powerful, I think.
And it's like you said, like our Heavenly Father, he's going to do whatever it takes mm-hmm. to reach those. He's mm-hmm. reach his children. Mm-hmm. And later on, it's like the prodigal son. It's like, well, there's no need for you to be hating on mm-hmm. the sidelines. There's no need for you. Mm-hmm. Everything you want, the robe is yours.
Yeah.
The ring is yours.
It's already yours.
The Jordan 1 sandals.
You're wearing them.
You're wearing them. Yeah. They're yours. Yeah. All this stuff is yours. But the real blessing, You've always had me.
Yeah, everything. He says, everything I have is already yours.
Yeah.
And it's the same way with us and our Heavenly Father. Everything we have, everything he has, every good gift he has is already ours. And the younger son's frustrated because he wants the good gifts, and he's thinking, if I'm good enough, then I can tell you how to distribute the good gifts. Mm-hmm. And the problem is he twists what the good gift is.
Yeah.
You know, the good gift isn't the robe. The good gift isn't the ring. It's not the Jordan 1 sandals. it's the good gift is the Father.
Yeah.
It's the relationship with the Father. And what is exposed in this text is that both of these sons cared more about the Father's stuff than the Father.
Yeah.
And that's how we get it twisted with our Heavenly Father, is we get frustrated that, you know, we look at one another and we say, oh, you blessed Darren in this way. Oh, you blessed Mike in this way. Oh, you've done this. And we go, why haven't you done this for me? And he's going, God's going, everything I have is already yours.
Yeah.
And we go, but I've been good enough I gave, you know, my 11%, you know, I did this, I did. And we think our goodness gives us a right to tell the Father what to do. And he's going, I don't care.
Yeah.
Not that he doesn't want us to live a certain way, because he does, but he says, you're not going to control me or own me or tell me how to distribute the blessings that I want to distribute. And in fact, you're missing out because you're thinking worldly blessings is the end. You know, you think that's the end result. That's the most important thing, when the most important thing is relationship with the Father and an intimate, deep relationship with the Father. And so this whole passage exposes that both sons were lost and needed salvation. And one of my favorite things in the whole passage is whenever the brother comes to the father and he says, "This son of yours has squandered your wealth with prostitutes," which we joke Sunday, how did he know about the prostitutes? You know, how'd you know about them, buddy? You know, he squandered your wealth with prostitutes and whatever. And he says, the father says, "We rejoice because your brother has come home."
Yeah.
And so the older brother tries to separate. He's your son, not my brother. Your son, he says, "We celebrate because your brother has come home." And so it's like, we're family, like this. You should be just as excited about this as all of us. He's your brother. And it's that to me was very powerful. And that's a reminder for us as we look around, and we have a tendency to be the older brother to people in our world. And God is saying to us, you should be just as happy that they're home as anybody.
Yeah.
Because that's your family. You know?
That's good.
And so, or should be. If we're going to go back to the first two parables, coin and sheep, every soul matters. Well, then if every soul has value, then we should be thrilled when any soul comes home.
Yeah.
Any soul is our brother. Any soul is our sister. And so we should be excited about that, and not saying, well, your son. No. Your brother, your sister has come home, and we should be thrilled about that, because we already have every blessing God could ever give us. And that, when we think in the lens of eternity, that is true. You know, we might think today, oh, they got blessed in this way. We always have to be challenged to think with the lens of eternity in mind, not just today. Yeah. And so that's why it can be true that every good blessing from the Father we already have available to us.
That's good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. And I want to encourage you to go listen to the message in its entirety. You can listen to it on YouTube, Facebook, Spotify. Subscribe, hit that like button, all that good stuff. And remember, the true blessing is not what we can get from the Father. It's actually knowing the Father. And in knowing the Father, you'll find freedom, you'll discover purpose, and you can make a difference for the kingdom. God bless you, and look forward to seeing you next week.